Act 1, made in God's image.
There's no such thing as just a story. That's the conclusion I came to after coffee with a good friend this week. There's no such thing as just a story. Like oxygen, the world is full of stories. And just as we breathe to stay alive, we must tell stories to live. But when I think about the stories that surround us day to day, when I think about the stories we each live, I have to wonder, are some stories better than others? She always entertained us. She would get this twinkle in her eye, and we knew what was coming. She started slow, making props of whatever was near, and then she would act out a scene from a movie, or she would belt out a chorus from a Broadway play. Other times, people would think she was crazy. It could get real embarrassing, trust me. One time in a busy Dairy Queen, just for fun, she confessed her undying love for a friend of ours. Oh, she was good. She added dramatic flair by telling us that she didn't care about the other girls he had dated. She wanted him, and she wanted the baby. Then she got down on her knees and asked him to marry her, right there in that Dairy Queen. We didn't stop laughing for weeks. So it came as no surprise when she told me she wanted to be an actress. She moved to LA. Her days were filled with auditions and networking. And at night, she waited tables to make ends meet. She got some small parts, and we were all so proud of her. This routine went on for months, and the months turned into years. She was always just on the cusp of that big breakout role. She lost a lot of weight, though. She shared with me that she starved herself to maintain the industry's image of her. She became obsessed, even neurotic, about counting calories and working out. When I saw her, I barely recognized her. Her cheeks were swollen, and she'd probably lost about 20 or 30 pounds. After we ate, she excused herself, but I knew what happened. I heard her forcing herself to throw up in the bathroom. The infectious joy that oozed from her was replaced by melancholy, aloofness. There's no such thing as just a story. My friend had the best of intentions. She didn't want or ask to be anorexic, but stories are powerful, and Hollywood's story of beauty, fame, and celebrity status is enticing, but it's also bankrupt. It turns out that some stories are better than others. Some stories connect us to God and to each other, and some stories lead us down that slow and windy staircase of sorrow and pain. Thankfully, this is not the last scene in my friend's story. There are a lot of stories floating around out there, stories that teach us how to behave and what to believe, stories that shape our lives. They're powerful things, you know. Here are a few stories that I think we should think about. First, the princess story. The princess story tells us that life is all about the ecstasy of romantic love. This story tells us that we can be complete and whole in the arms of one true love. This is the story of the blockbuster movie, Titanic. Do you remember that fate-filled day when Rose and Jack met each other, and before the Titanic sank, they had already had a love for a lifetime? You know, the moral of the story is that they lived happily ever after, for a little while, at least. Now, don't hear me wrong, there is nothing wrong with love. But we were created for partnerships where we empower and encourage and support one another. We were never created to be each other's all in all. One person can't bear all the burdens for another. We weren't created for that. There's also the John Wayne story. This story tells us that we don't need anyone. We can live off the land and all by ourselves if possible. Forget about society and head to those bountiful lands to the west. Here's another one you're familiar with. You've heard of that saying, keeping up with the Joneses? This story tells us that things can make us happy. If I only get that next thing, then I'll be complete. And this story is reinforced by that adage that we tell one another, just keeping up with the Joneses. The Joneses are doing it. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting the things we need, getting the things that sometimes we've saved hard for, but there's something wrong, there's something gross about believing that these things can meet the deepest needs inside of ourselves. And some of us, but not all of us, live another story. This is what I like to call the science story. We say to ourselves, if I can test it, if I can see it, if I can't test it, and if I can't see it, it's not really there. We question the spiritual reality of life, and we become preoccupied with facts and historical truth. These and other stories like it circulate our airwaves. Every one of these stories is appealing or attractive in one way or another. Each story touches on our human needs, even our truths. But my question today is there a better story? The singer-songwriter John Foreman said it best, "We were meant to live for so much more. Have we lost ourselves?" Hollywood, the princess story, John Wayne, the Joneses, and science. All these stories, if you notice, from our culture center on the individual. It's a me, me, and more me culture that we live in most times. My friend told me this week that he thinks that our culture is the most individualistic society in the history of the world. Now that scares me a little bit. But maybe there's a bigger tragedy to all this. Maybe the tragedy is that we've forgotten the power of story to shape and transform our lives. One writer that I really like put it this way. It is through hearing stories about wicked stepmothers, lost children, good but misguided kings, wolves that suckle twin boys, youngest sons who receive no inheritance but must make their own way in the world, eldest sons who waste their inheritance on riotous living and go into exile to live with the swine, that children learn or mislearn both what a child is and a parent is, what the cast of characters may be in the drama into which they have been born, and what the ways of the world are. And then he says this, deprive children or adults of stories, and you leave them unscripted, anxious stutterers in their actions as in their words. This quote confirms my conviction. There's no such thing as just stories. What if we thought about the Bible as a script or a story that we all live into? Actors and actresses study a script not just to blandly memorize, but to make their characters real for their audience so that the world would believe what they are acting out. Just like a script, the Bible invites every one of us. It asks for our partnership, our participation, our very presence. And the Bible welcomes us into this dynamic relationship with God, who is the main character of our lives, whose transforming love alters us. Through this powerful story, God offers us a new script about who we are, new stories about who our neighbors and who our enemies are, and a new possibilities of a world where everyone can shine like stars. So this is what Act 1 of God's story might look like. In Act 1 of God's story, the cosmic origins of the universe provide the setting. No small-time stuff here. This is a big-time story. God enters the stage of history and breaks the reign of chaos and evil. Notice how the Bible described that in that first paragraph that was read. The words formless, void, darkness, and deep are all symbolic in the ancient world of chaos and evil. The Creator comes and calms the chaos. The main character, God, is compelled by love to set a new story into motion for every one of us. And then comes the good gifts that God gives us. On day one, God gives us light. Light is a gift to be enjoyed. It is good. It brings warmth and health and healing to our bodies. And then God gives night. Night is a gift so that we can sleep and rest and marvel in the accomplishments of the day. On day two, God creates the gift of sky. The gift of sky allows us to enjoy the beauty of blue and the cloud formations that surround us. And on the third day, God creates land and seas. The gift of land is given for farming. Trees, plants, and seeds nourish our body and provide the oxygen that we breathe. Land is given so that we can enjoy running, hiking, biking, and camping. Lakes, falls, and seas are given so we can drink, swim, bathe, and cook. On the fourth day, God gives us the gift of the sun and the moon. This gift from God makes possible the beautiful seasons that we enjoy so much. And on the fifth day, God gives fish and fowl. Fish flood our lakes and birds fill our skies. We stand in awe of these good gifts, gift after gift given for us. But there's more. On the sixth day, God gifts us of creatures of every kind, dog, cats, cattle, and of course, my favorite, elephants. And then, using the royal we of verse 26, the let us, God creates humans in God's image and likeness. God creates you. God gifts you with a purpose and a plan, with love in your heart and air in your lungs. Don't miss this. The royal we suggests that the main character is no ordinary creator. God is majestic, awesome, and all-loving. And then God creates you. You are the centerpiece of this entire creation project. God sets in motion the possibility that you could love God and lead a courageous life in the world. We are not to destroy, but to cherish all of these created gifts from day one to day seven. The story tells us that we are created for all of creation, to care for all of creation, including animals, plants, oceans, and seas, as well as one another. We're the stewards. We are given the keys to this amazing place called planet Earth. In Act 1, God brings to our lives order. God brings harmony. God brings wholeness. And God brings life to us. And we marvel in the mystery of this magnificent maker. And on day 7, God rests. God gifts us by reminding us that rest is essential for abundant life. Oh, we forget this often, don't we? That rest is what rejuvenates our souls. Rest allows us to see God's beautiful tapestry. Rest allows us to enter into all that God is doing in our family and our friends' lives. Now that's a story worth living for. Now that's a story worth dying for. That's a story that brings forth our very best. We are created in God's image. Why would we settle for anything less? As I conclude today, I'm sure you want to know about my friend, the actress. Some days are better than others for her. Over the phone, she shared with me her last audition that she was rejected once again. She cried outside of the studio for hours. But she shared with me she's had enough of this Hollywood roller coaster. She's decided to embrace a different script. After all, some stories are better than others. She told me that what God says about her is more important than Hollywood. She's beginning to realize that amazing truth that she is made in God's image. Oh yeah, some days get the best of her, but she finds support through her church family. She finds empowerment and respect and a point in the right direction from a small group of women that she meets with. She's learning a new script, one that tells her every day how extraordinary she is as a human being. She's becoming a different character, to keep with the metaphor. Recently, she performed in her church's Christmas play, and after the play, a group of us went out to dinner with one another. You'd not believe what she did. As we're celebrating dinner with her, she runs to a table about five tables down. She borrows a man's top hat. Then she goes to a table next door and she borrows a scarf. And then for the next 30 minutes, without a smirk, without even a little glimmer, she performs as she is a woman Ebenezer Scrooge. Gives the waiter the hardest time of his life. Love and laughter filled our table. And I sat back and I marveled in the goodness of God. I marveled that God is the one who recreates us, who helps us to live better stories. After all, some stories are better than others. Amen.